I want to thank Brother Charles for leading the singing this morning and the other brethren that have helped in the meeting. Appreciate all of your help today. Again, I want to welcome everybody to the Lord's house. Thank you all for coming. Yesterday morning, I sent around a note concerning our brother Pastor Dennis in the Philippines. Our brother believes he has COVID, so he had flu symptoms last week and his condition deteriorated. And do continue to pray for our brother, although today his condition has improved, and so we're thankful to the Lord for that. Our brother has been struggling financially over recent times, and yesterday we sent a gift to his family to help them, and we appreciate the help of God's people in special gifts for the work in the Philippines as well as for the Lord's work in Pakistan. God willing, from tomorrow I'll be on holidays for a week, and so a number of the brethren will again be helping out over meetings during the next week, and Brother Bevis will be ministering next Lord's Day, and we pray that the Lord will bless that ministry. And again, thank you to all that will be helping in various parts over the next week. We're going to turn again, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 19, John chapter 19. And our text for this morning are the two verses, verses 10 and 11. So John 19 and the verse 10, "Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me?" He said that on account of the Lord not answering his previous question. "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help this morning. And let us pray that the Lord will be pleased to come and to minister to our hearts. Our gracious Father, we thank thee, dear Lord, for the privilege to open up your word together. And we ask of thee, dear Lord, that the help of God will be given as we consider these words together, these words in this portion. They both are a means of distress as well as greatest encouragement to us. We see the depravity of a man, but we see the outworking of God's great decree that Christ would go to the cross for sinners as us. And O Lord, we look to thee then, that the help of the Holy Spirit of God will be given as we consider thy truth together. Be pleased to come and minister to all of our hearts in our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. John Brown of Priest Hill was a Christian during the times of persecution in the Covenanter period in Scotland. John Brown was a countryman. He wasn't a minister, though he was well educated. He was literate, and he was able to use his gifts and knowledge in communicating the gospel. Even while he was working outdoors, he would seek to instruct young people in the ways of the Lord. In 1680, John Brown married a lady by the name of Isabel Weir, and the marriage ceremony was conducted by a famous preacher in Scotland at that time by the name of Alexander Peden. And at the wedding, Peden said to the bride, "You have got a good husband. Value him highly." But then he brought words to that bride, words that are most unusual. She said, "Keep linen for a winding sheet beside you, For in the day when you least expect it, thy master will be taken from thy head. But fear not, thou shalt be comforted. And only a few years later, in 1685, John Brown received a visit from the Scottish Dragoons, the military. That group of soldiers was led by a man, a very corrupt and evil man by the name of John Graham of Claverhouse. Claverhouse questioned John Brown. John Brown had a very central role in the work of the Covenanters. He asked Brown why he didn't attend the curate. That is, why have you not been attending the state church? And John Brown began to give his defense, that he believed in Presbyterianism, not in prelacy. John Brown normally had a stutter, but on that occasion he spoke most clearly. He was told, "You're going to die. Begin to pray." And he did pray. He prayed out loud. He prayed most earnestly until his prayer was interrupted. And Claverhouse then ordered 6 of the dragoons to shoot John Brown. But they had been so moved by his prayer, they were unable. Claverhouse, in his ruthlessness, he took his gun. He shot John Brown through in the head. His wife needed that winding sheet. But Claverhouse then looked at Mrs. Brown. She said, "What do you think of your husband now?" She said, "I always thought much good of him, but now more than ever." And he said to her, "If it were but justice to lay thee beside him." But she courageously replied, "If it were permitted." In other words, "You could only shoot me if the Lord would permit it to be so." And in great cruelty, he said, "To men I can be answerable, but as for God, I will take him in my own hands." How foolish. Those words of John Brown's wife, "only if God permit it," were brought to my mind as I thought of this scene where the Lord was before Pilate. And Pilate was saying, "Do you not know I have power to crucify you? I have power to release you." The Lord, in effect, replied, "You'll only be able to do what God permits. You'll only be able to do what God permits. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify you?" The word "power" in verse 10, "power to crucify" and "power to release," is a word that means power in the sense of authority. You have the political power in the sense that you have this authority. And the Lord used that same word in his reply in verse 11. "Thou couldst have no power at all." No authority at all, except it were given thee from above. And so the whole focus here is on this issue of authority. And while these words had great implication in this particular scene, I believe they do have an abiding relevance. And I want us to consider them today and look at the subject, keeping sight of Christ's great authority. For really, that's what Christ was saying to Pilate. "Here I am, appearing in weakness, and yet I am the great I am. All authority has been given to me. And you have the power to crucify me only because that power, that authority, has been given to you. And therefore, today, as the Lord's people and as society as a whole, we ought to consider the great power, the great authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we do so, first of all, we see that it keeps a good perspective on political leadership. By reminding ourselves of Christ's power, we keep a good perspective on political leadership. The Lord here recognizes Pilate's authority, but he speaks of another authority. He speaks of the authority from above, the authority of God. And so there are these two separate authorities that Jesus speaks of. And yet, he does not speak of them in terms of being two separate authorities that have nothing to do with each other. Rather, Christ is saying there is a relationship between one and the other. That is, one of these authorities derives its authority from the other. So the Lord is saying to Pilate, yes, you do have political authority, but your political authority derives itself from the authority of Almighty God. And any authority then that you have, it comes from the Lord himself. And so Christ is making clear that human government, civil government, derives its authority from Almighty God. And just as Pilate had powers, so our governments today, they have authority in so much that it is given by the Lord himself. It's a delegated power. And therefore, the government has a duty to the one that has appointed them. They have a duty to do the one who has put them into that office. In that sense, they are to recognize that they are God's ministers in the political realm. And more often than not, historically and in the present, civil authorities deny this truth. More often than not, civil authorities will boast of their position and have no or very little recognition of the one that has appointed them. And yet, whether they are conscious of this or not, whether they believe this or not, its truth abides. So Christ was not denying that Pilate had authority. Pilate was not denying that there was a legitimate office that Pilate occupied. But Christ was saying to Pilate, there are limits. And you need to be careful in the exercise of your office that you do not go beyond the limits that the Lord has given to you. Now, as Christians, we are not to disrespect authority. And we realize that many individuals in the political and civil realm are corrupt. But we recognize that there is an office that the Lord has raised up. And while those that occupy that office to a large degree do not fulfill it correctly, as God's people, we recognize that there is an office in the political realm that is legitimate. And therefore, we are to be known as obedient, law-abiding citizens. There are rare exceptions, and we'll come to that in a moment or two. But in the main, the Lord's people are to be an obedient people. If you could turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And remember, Paul was writing here in the days of great corrupt leadership, much worse than anything we have at this time. Nero was in authority. Romans 13 Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And you can see there that the Lord's people could never take civil disobedience lightly. There are times where the Lord's people must engage in civil disobedience. But we could never take it lightly. To resist the power is to resist the ordinance of God. And then verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. This is their responsibility. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of men. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject. Christians are to be subject to those over us. Peter taught something similar in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 13. Subject yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king is supreme or unto governors, as them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And we are to be a submitting, a submissive people. And yet, as I've suggested, there are times when there is an exception. The exception does not make the rule. But we must not do anything contrary to the express commands of God. And the Lord, as he was speaking to Pilate on this occasion then, was surely reminding us today that when governments command us to sin, if governments commanded us to sin, we cannot obey. That principle is very clearly set forth in Acts 4 and Acts 5. In those passages we read of how Peter and John were forbidden to preach. They were told, you can no longer preach God's word. But they had a commission greater than any command of a political ruler. They had a commission from Jesus Christ himself. And again, remember, Jesus used that word authority. All power is given unto me. All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore. And so the disciples recognized that there was an authority over and above any political rulers. And they said then in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Where political authority said you must be silent, but God said you must speak, Peter and John said we will obey God rather than men. When governments then seek to restrict the communication of the gospel, and there are times when their restrictions must be resisted. I have no doubt that in coming days, the Church of Christ will have to wrestle over the very matters that are set before us in our text and in those that I've referred to this morning. We desire civil obedience. And yet we desire chiefly obedience to God. One matter that has distressed me over recent weeks is that some churches have given in to the idea that we can restrict worship to those that are vaccinated. I believe for a church to give in to a government mandate like that is to obey man rather than God. The church is a body. The government has no right to tell us who can meet in the public worship of the Lord's people. Remember how James talked of the danger of giving place to the rich over the poor? It would be a violation, James is saying. And surely this very matter falls into that same category. What message would we send out if we say to the world outside, there's only room if you've had a vaccine? We must obey God rather than men. Now, undoubtedly, in association with all of this, there are many black and white areas. There are issues of conscience. And at times, God's people may come to a different conclusion. Yet always there must be this recognition that the Lord's authority is greater than that of any politician. And therefore, in all of our thinking and reasoning, this principle must remain uppermost. And we must always remember that governments can and do sin. If you look with me in verse 11, Jesus answered, this is back in John 19, Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And I'm going to come back to this later again, but the Lord here is saying, Caiaphas committed great sin when he handed me over to you. Judas Iscariot committed great sin when he betrayed the Lord, so that the Lord was in the hands of Caiaphas. And the word that's translated in the New Testament, betrayed, is the same word here, delivered. So there was the sin of Judas. There was the sin of Caiaphas. The Lord is saying, you, Pilate, are guilty of sin, because he says they have the greater sin. He is not saying, Pilate, when you wash your hands, that you're innocent. Not at all. Pilate, you have guilt. He had just declared Christ to have no fault at all and then had him scourged. That was unjust. Pilate had sinned in that. He had tried to manipulate in order to escape his responsibility. And so he had let out this case, let's release a prisoner. Have Barabbas. He didn't expect that the crowd would say, let's release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. It seemed that Pilate hoped that bringing out Christ dressed so pathetically would evoke sympathy. There was all of this wavering, all of this attempt at people pleasing. Pilate was full of fear. We read that at the end of verse 8, chapter 19, verse 8. He was the more afraid. He was afraid of the crowd. Not so much afraid of Almighty God. And therefore, Pilate sinned. And as our leaders today, in the majority, fear the crowd more than God, we should not be surprised when they legislate wrongly. But equally, we do not need to be afraid in times of overreach. Because the Lord, as it were, is saying to governments today, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And remember, as the Lord permitted Pilate to do the very thing he wanted to do, Pilate would be held accountable. And as governments do the very thing that they want to do, they will be held accountable. And therefore, the sovereignty of God is that which ought to comfort us today as the Lord's people. Keep a good perspective on political leadership. I want to see then, secondly, there should be a focus on the greater authority when handling pressure. Undoubtedly, Pilate was experiencing pressure in this particular scene. If you notice with me in verse 12, from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. Now there's a bit of a change of tone from verse 10. Where in verse 10, Pilate, he is afraid, but he comes across as the bully. And Pilate is really saying, how dare you remain silent? Do you not realize that the authority in the decision of whether you're to be crucified or released, it lies with me? But when it comes to verse 12, Pilate isn't talking about the crucifixion anymore in his mind at the beginning. He's just trying to bring about the release. He wants to remain unprincipled and yet release Jesus Christ. And so if you keep all of this in mind, he has told God has greater authority. And now he wants to escape his authority. And he wants to release Christ in some easy route while still somehow pleasing the crowd. And I believe there's a great lesson here, because in the life of the Christian, we do at times face great pressure. And in no way can we excuse what Pilate did in this scene. And yet I think we can all understand that Pilate was under great pressure. Here he was, ruling over a people that resented the Romans ruling over them. And here he was, where the crowd really had turned against him. As well as that, very soon they were to say, if you release Jesus, you're not Caesar's friend. And so he feels like he's being pushed into a corner. And in the end, Pilate gave in to the pressure. He delivered Jesus to be crucified. Why was that? Because he didn't really take to heart the words of verse 11 correctly. So they moved him a little. But he quickly let go of them. You see, if Pilate had really grasped what the Lord said in verse 11, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Pilate's mind should have been filled with those words, from above, from heaven, from Almighty God. Pilate, in that moment, ought to have feared God more than he feared man. And while, yes, his fear of God might have increased a little, from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, yet still his fear of man was greater. And in the end, he delivered Christ to be crucified. Maybe you can identify with Pilate's failure here. You have ended up in places where you would have preferred not to have been, because you feared the crowd more than you feared God. You spoke words because you feared man more than God. You had more fear of offending people than offending heaven. I praise God, there's mercy with the Lord. How can we overcome such sin? Well, we are to take verse 11 to our hearts. No power at all except it were given thee from above. And we are to live with this God consciousness every moment of every day. Above, above heaven, Almighty God, how can I sin against a holy God? And George Hutchison made a beautiful comment. He said, Christ's followers should look in themselves as being first and chiefly in the hand of God. First and chiefly in the hand of God. And in those times in the workplace, when you feel backed into a corner in the hand of the employer, remember this, before that, you're in the hand of God. And when you feel that you're backed into a corner by so-called friends, acquaintances, remember this. If you're the Lord's child, you're in the hand of God. We're to focus on this greater authority when handling pressure. And I want to see then, finally, that the unconverted should flee from the wrath of the great judge. Flee from the wrath of the great judge. If you're in the meeting today and you're not yet a believer, the words of our text have something very important to say to you. For here was Pilate standing before Jesus, and it would seem at first he was boasting. Do you not realize I have the authority to crucify you or to release you? And Christ answered, revealing himself not only to have authority, but Christ revealed himself as the great judge. In verse 11, Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. He that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. In those words, Christ is making a judgment. And Christ is saying, it's as if you, Pilate, are before me. Caiaphas is before me. Judas is before me, and you all have sinned. Yes, the sin of Judas and Caiaphas is greater than yours, Pilate, but you have sinned. You are sinning. I am the judge, Christ is revealing to Pilate. Pilate had asked that question that the Lord had not answered. Whence art thou? Verse 9. Where are you from? The Lord had not answered that question directly. But then when Pilate had spoken again and Jesus gave this reply, the answer to the question is very clearly implied. I am from above. There is authority above that is greater than yours. And Christ then passes this judgment. He is showing, I am from above. All authority is given to me. And remember how the Apostle Paul declared in Acts 17 that Christ has been appointed as the great judge, and the resurrection is God's confirmation that it is so. These words in the verse 11 are the last recorded words in the Gospel of John that Christ addressed to Pilate. The last words that Jesus said to Pilate, as recorded here, are the words, greater sin And as far as the record goes here, the Lord had nothing more to say to him. Greater sin. Isn't this the matter that the Lord is speaking to souls about today? Sin. Sin. You're lost. You're not ready to meet a holy God. Today, the sinner might reason in his mind, it's my right to reject Christ if I want. The sinner might reason, I have the right to go on in my sin. Christ says, I have an authority greater than yours. Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And today, you might not be living in fear. And yet, if you're unconverted, you should be. Not of man so much, but Almighty God, the one that has the authority to determine not only the death of your body, but the authority over your soul. Again, our Lord emphasized that in Revelation 1:18. Our Lord said, I have the keys of hell and death. I have all authority over hell, the grave, and death. Christ is the authority to deliver you from hell. Praise God in the work of the cross. And Christ is the authority to cast you into hell if you reject his mercy. You see, Pilate here boasted about his authority to release or to condemn. But Pilate ought to have considered this. There's a greater judge. Today the Lord has the authority to save you. As many as receive him, to them give he the power. It's the same word, authority. To them give he the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And today, if you're in the meeting without the Lord, may you realize your great need. May you realize that you are condemned. But come to the Lord for mercy. Come and receive him. As many as received him, to them give he that authority to become God's sons. Today, don't go away as a child of wrath. Go away assured that you're one of the Lord's. He has the authority to save. May you not reject it. And then hear one day those awful words, depart from me. Come to Christ for your soul's sake. We'll bow together, please, in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee, Lord, for our Saviour's determination to go all the way to the cross. That he did not fear Pilate. That he was so willing even to take that cup of wrath and drink it all in the sinner's place. What a mercy. Today we cast ourselves at thy feet. We thank thee for all of thy great mercies toward us. O Lord, we pray that you will abide with us as we linger around the table. We pray today as we feast upon Christ afresh that we will know that sweetness again of Calvary. And we pray for any that are still unconverted. Oh Lord, we pray that they will be brought today to see their need, that they will look to the Lamb of God and be saved. Continue with us, we pray, in our Lord's name. Amen.